OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team, it's unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. You guys are lighting up the phone, so we're going to keep rolling with that. Steve Tasker will join us in just about 10 minutes here on the show. Let's go to Bob in University Heights. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Bob?
All right. The only comments I wanted to make, one is I don't think Coach Shanahan gave Hoyer too many options, especially with a offensive line that was so weak. You can use Brady as an example of New England. When he had that horrible offensive line, he could get nothing done. He didn't give Hoyer any options to throw to anybody else because it seemed like Hoyer was just throwing it up in the air and the receiver was supposed to be there. No thought to it, no twisting and turning and looking. And the second thing, running backs, you need three running backs, at least I think, because of the fact is you don't know which team can stop which type of runner. You know, you have a bull like Tate, he can get through some lines, some he can't. Crowell, he seems like he can do anything. And Tate seems to be able to dance around, sort of. But as far as, you know what I'm saying.
But do you need three, let me ask you this, do you need three backs to be getting the ball on a weekly basis? I think that's the question. Because in that sense, you know, you've got three guys, and so nobody is going to really be able to get into that good rhythm that you're talking about.
Well, I think in the beginning of the game, you need to see which running back can do what, and then sit the one that can't.
But I'll say this, there's not that many carries in a football game. You know, we don't have time. This offense has gotten off to some slow starts, and we can't be figuring things out in the, you know, to see which running back's going to be the running back of the day. You know, it's like, wouldn't you love to just go all in with a pair of guys and just say, these are our two. We'll have a third one available if one of them happens to be injured, because I actually think that all three of these guys have a, you know, they're all a little bit different, but they all have a very similar skill set.
Yeah, I don't think they are that different. I mean, I think that from a talent standpoint, they're different in terms of what I think they fully bring to the table.
And there's different things that they like.
It's not like one of them is Darren Sproles.
No.
There isn't a scat back. There isn't a total change of pace, home run hitter, smaller back. Terrence West is a big guy. That's the problem with him dancing.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to be dancing when you're a big back like that. You're supposed to be getting downhill. So I think the Browns have three backs that are similar, and with Glenn Winston, they probably have four backs that are very similar in terms of what they are doing out there on the field. And so it's a matter of taking which ones are the best at it. And I think that's the question. And if you're asking me right now who the best backs are on the team, I think it's Crowell and Tate. Now, how you want to split that up, I would look at it personally right now. I want Crow, he's got to get in the double-digit carries for me because he is our most dangerous player. So I would look at it as almost going into it saying, okay, Tate's my starter, he's my veteran for now, I get that. But I want to almost go an even distribution between the two of them, and then whoever is the hot hand for that day, you go with the hot hand. But I think that you should go into it thinking of it as kind of a two-back system where most of these guys are pretty much going to split it up down the middle, and then you're going to see who's ready to roll that day.
And even in saying that, Nathan, the great thing about it is we want balance as an offense. We want to be able to run the ball and throw the ball and make everything look the same. So therefore, if we are actually splitting those carries down the middle, there's no tendency that when Crowell gets in the game, we're going to run these types of plays. When Tate gets in the game, we're going to run these types of plays. Split them right down the middle, you know, and it's like, it's almost like a series. And Kyle doesn't call a play. He may call a few plays in a game for a certain player, but otherwise, let's run our offense and again, impose our will and our identity of running that football and play actioning off of it in a given series. If it's 6 plays, 10 plays, 3 plays, that guy gets those reps, gets those carries per se, and then the next one you flip it to the next guy. And if it's a 3 and out, you know, you might go back in the game. But otherwise, I think you have to be balanced with these guys because you can't skew them one way or another, because I do think they bring something different to the table even though they're very similar.
And I'd like to see them get a little bit more incorporated in the passing game. I think it would be very helpful, and especially if your line's not doing well, you can just kind of let them in, throw some of those screens. We didn't see that as a mechanism really to slow down the rush against the Jacksonville Jaguars, so that's something that certainly I would look forward to in the coming weeks. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey, our guy. What's up, Chevy?
Hey, guys. I really like Crowell off the bench because when he gets in there, that first play, they don't really expect how quick he is, and it kind of shocks them, but my thing to improve, one thing, It's coaching. It's obvious. The guy from New York said the same thing. The assistant coaches, heck, the special teams coach should be on the hot seat. The defensive line coach allows them to get out of position. They don't contain the edge well. Those guys got to play with a sense of urgency. And finally, I'd like to see Coach Pettine get more involved and more active during the game.
I would say that, I mean, in my eyes, Coach Pettine is very active. And I know he's got a headset on, and I think you might get that misconstrued because he's so even-keeled throughout a game. You know, but I know his communication is both with Kyle, paying attention to what's happening on offense. He's talked about the fact that he's sitting in those meetings when they construct that offensive game plan, and especially that defensive game plan. And in some cases, he's making defensive calls as well in the base package, and then O'Neal, of course, makes them in the sub package. But I have no problem with the level of interest and into the game that Coach Pettine is. But I really do think, again, that there's not enough, to go back to the running backs, there's not enough ball to go around. There's really not. And I think that is the last thing in my eyes, besides getting over that offensive line, is that is truly identifying who we are as an offense by finding two guys who are going to get a significant amount of the carries.
So when you have this, and I know you could say, okay, well, we've got a guy who's injured, you know, has been injured in his career, obviously, and Tate Crowe's still very unproven. I mean, do you think about, you have this big position of strength and you almost have a glut of talent at this point, that you maybe want to shop somebody from this backfield, or do you just kind of want to just let it all see how it unfolds this year? Because I have no answer to that. I don't know what the right answer is.
You're speaking trade at this point?
Yeah, just if that's, because some people, this is where it comes from. On Twitter, we've gotten a couple of responses saying that we have two running backs, that's good enough, and people have heard that, I guess, Vincent Jackson is available, so there's a lot of, let's trade Terrence West and get Vincent Jackson. There were about four of those tweets on my
timeline.
Lovie
Smith has come out and said that no player on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster is being shopped right now, so that has also been said by Lovie Smith. But I would say this, moving forward, approaching the Terrence West in general, if he's the guy that we're essentially shopping, is I wouldn't at this point right now, seven games into his career, be shopping him. What I would do is I would have an open ear. You know, because
I think you have an open ear for everybody, right?
Because we have a team that has identifiable weaknesses, you know, and if we can get better at one position and essentially not lose a step by losing a guy like West, as long as we're getting value. I think we have to win in this trade, and we need an immediate impact. Otherwise, it's off the table in my eyes.
I love Terrence West coming into this draft. I still am a big fan of his. I think he's going to realize that he can't go and dance as much as he has so far in the NFL, and he's going to be very successful when he does. So, again, he's not somebody that I personally am shopping, but with anybody, and this goes for absolutely anybody on the team, that if you get, you know, an offer that is worthwhile and could benefit your team, you listen to it. I think that's true of everybody on the roster, but I don't think it's time to shop them. That's just kind of my take on it. I think Vincent Jackson would be nice, but again, remember, you're talking about an expensive player. You're talking about a veteran player who is not on the upside of his career.
Yeah,
right,
he's
not on the
upswing
of his career. And this isn't a team right now that would, I think, consider itself, you know, as good as and excited as we all were after the Steelers game. This is still not a team that I don't think we would consider as, you know, Vincent Jackson away from winning the Super Bowl.
No, it's not.
And I think that's when you make a trade for a guy like Vincent Jackson, is when you feel like that's the one piece that's going to put your team over the top and get you where you want to be. Let's get Dave in Zor now. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Nathan.
How you doing,
buddy?
I was just going to say, Nathan, excellent job on the sidelines on Sunday. I don't think a guy could get more excited and into his job than you do. Really, really good.
Thank you.
I was just going to say about the coaching. I think they learned a valuable lesson here. They're young coaches, and you, like Matt said, you got to adapt. You can't go in and think you're going to outsmart these coaches on the other teams. This is a cream of the crop. Cream of the crop players, coaches. You've got to change things up. You can't just bully your way through this league.
No, I think that's true, and you've got to be creative, because once you are successful in the NFL, teams are going to do whatever they can to take away what you are successful at, and they're going to try to force you into things that you appear to be less competent in. And I think right now with the Browns, the blueprint is simple. You've got to take away the run, get pressure on the quarterback, lock up the receivers on the outside, and If you do that, the Browns are going to have a tough time, because let's not forget, it's not only that, you know, there isn't the guy who's playing really your number one receiver right now. Andrew Hawkins was really meant to be a number three or a slot type of a receiver, and he's playing on the outside. You've got Gabriel, who's also a small undrafted free agent. Benjamin, who's played well this year, but has not been a dominant receiver in the NFL for any stretch of time. And Miles Austin is certainly on the downside of his career, still very good, but more of a number two option. You don't have those guys, and outside of Austin, you really don't have anybody with a big catch radius either. So they need to be separated, well separated from their coverage to be open, and then the ball's got to be thrown very accurately to them on top of that, which is why there have been problems for this team. But coaches need to adapt. They need to adapt all the time, because that's what it is. It's a chess game. It's like, okay, so I know that you're going to try to take this away. So if I can show you this, I know you'll react this way, so I could actually be setting you up for this play.
Exactly. That also is an anticipation of what they're potentially going to do, or what you think they might do, or how you've been attacked in the past. And also, too, just after the caller, you know, was speaking about changing things up and evolving, the one other thing that I guess at this point, you know, it's like, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I wouldn't mind if we started repping some type of package with Johnny. You know, it's a series of plays that, you know, that build right to his skill set, you know. Yep. And it's not a play, or it's not just the zone read. It's a series of plays that he is completely comfortable with that just change the dynamic, you know, very similar to what I said earlier, when it's like those three-step drops, you know, or getting guys on the ground and just throwing to open wide receivers, getting the ball out of your hand fast and allowing our playmakers to make a play. I think, well, we've got one of what a lot of people think is the best playmaker in all of college football in the past few years. We've got him on our roster doing nothing right now. So it wouldn't be surprised to me if we put a little bit of diligence into some type of package for Johnny that grows on the coaches over the course of time to the point where they can actually see it happening in the game.
Exactly. I think that is something that could be on the table here going forward, because it just is, again, gives you something else to do offensively, a little change of pace, also put some pressure on the defense. But to me, if Brian Hoyer comes out against Oakland and is in a good rhythm, don't disrupt that rhythm.
No.
Don't disrupt that rhythm. It's not something that needs to be forced at all. It just should be kind of a rhythm and a feel thing. When we come back, Steve Tasker, who was on the broadcast of the Browns and the Jags this Sunday, also the Browns and the Titans as well, will be on the show to give us his thoughts on the Browns team, what they need to figure out here. And Tasker, of course, was a special teams demon. We'll ask him how to fix the Browns special teams. That's coming up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.